In November 1790, Burke published his Reflections on the Revolution in France, which condemned the revolution as a threat to all political and social order.
France, by the perfidy of her leaders, has utterly disgraced the tone of lenient counsel in the cabinets of princes, and disarmed it of its most potent topics. She has sanctified the dark, suspicious maxims of tyrannous distrust, and taught kings to tremble at, what will hereafter be called, the delusive plausibilities of moral politicians. Sovereigns will consider those who advise them to place an unlimited confidence in their people as subverters of their thrones, as traitors who aim at their destruction, by leading their easy good nature under specious pretences to admit combinations of bold and faithless men into a participation of their power. This alone, if there were nothing else, is an irreparable calamity to mankind.
As far as Burke was concerned, constitutions and the political order were organic. The notion that political thinkers could sit down and draft the perfect constitution for a state was just plain daft, and all right-thinking Englishmen and other Britons were bound to recognise this.
We are not the converts of Rousseau. We are not the disciples of Voltaire. Helvetius has made no progress amongst us. Atheists are not our preachers. Madmen are not our lawgivers. We know that we have made no discoveries, and we think that no discoveries are to be made in morality, nor many in the great principles of government, nor in the ideas of liberty, which were understood long before we were born, altogether as well as they will be long after the grave has heaped its mould upon our presumption. We fear God. We look up with awe to kings, with affection to parliaments, with duty to magistrates, with reverence to priests, and with respect to nobility. Why? Because when such ideas are brought before our minds, it is natural to be so affected, because all other feelings are false and spurious, and tend to corrupt our minds, to vitiate our primary morals, to render us unfit for rational liberty, and by teaching us a servile, licentious, and abandoned insolence, to be our low sport for a few holidays, to make us perfectly fit for and justly deserving of slavery through the whole course of our lives.
Gilray's Smelling Out a Rat was published the month following the publication of Burke's Reflections. Gilray criticizes Richard Price. He portrays him under a picture of the execution of Charles I during the English Revolution. And Gilray's Price is writing a tract called On the Benefits of Anarchy, Regicide, Atheism. But, typical of Gilray's style, he also pokes fun at Burke's scaremongering. Burke is the truly comic figure here, a gigantic, preposterous snooper, clutching the symbols of church and king. Gilray's Burke is a figure of ridicule. Burke's Reflections sparked a public debate over the revolution. Initially, he had few supporters, and there were scores of critical responses. But within 2 years, his ideas had become broadly accepted among many of the property classes who looked with increasing concern at Jacobinism across the Channel and at its British manifestations. Pro-church and king snooping and pro-church and king violence were to become significant elements in the British reaction to the French Revolution. What really panicked people of property was a new kind of radicalism in Britain that appeared to echo French Jacobinism and that appeared rooted in plebeian society.